15, maybe we can have some more light here and we'll look at the word. Anybody would like to ask any questions afterward or anything, you're certainly welcome to do that, and we can share some more. Paul said, God has not called me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, right? That's the way I feel about sharing about our ministry. I mean, I like doing what I just did, but what God's called me to is preach the word. So now I get to really have fun here to do what he's called me to do. Romans 15, and we'll start reading in verse 14. Do you want to stand and get a change of position? And they'll sit down again after for a bit. Let's stand for the reading. And concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. But I have written very boldly to you on some points, so as to remind you again, because of the grace that was given me from God, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest the gospel of God, so that my offering of the Gentiles may become acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in Christ Jesus, I have found reason for boasting in things pertaining to God. For I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed, in the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about as far as Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And thus I aspired to preach the gospel, not where Christ was already named, so that I would not build on another man's foundation. But as it is written, they who had no news of him shall see, and they who have not heard shall understand. For this reason, I have often been prevented from coming to you. But now, with no further place for me in these regions, and since I have had for many years a longing to come to you, whenever I go to Spain, for I hope to see you in passing and to be helped on my way there by you when I have first enjoyed your company for a while, but now I'm going to Jerusalem, serving the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. Yes, they were pleased to do so, and they are indebted to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in their spiritual things, they are indebted to minister to them also in material things. Therefore, when I have finished this and have put my seal on this fruit of theirs, I will go on by way of you to Spain. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. Now, I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be rescued from those who are disobedient in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may prove acceptable to the saints, so that I may come to you in joy by the will of God and find refreshing rest in your company. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Let's pray a moment. Father, we have read your word now, and we ask you, Holy Spirit, you who inspired these words, we ask that you would apply them now to our hearts. Give us ears to hear and hearts to respond in obedience and faith to what you would speak to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Paul writes the book of Romans in or near Corinth, at the end of his third missionary journey, almost at the end. And now he's almost at the end of this glorious letter that he's written. And in verse 14 that we read, he commends them and says, you know, I know that you're mature, you're full of goodness, you are full of knowledge. You can exhort and encourage and admonish one another. But, and then he says, in spite of your maturity, in spite of what God has already done in your lives, I've been bold to write to you. Why have I been bold to write to you? And this is what he says. I've written to you boldly on some points, so as to remind you again, because of the grace that was given me from God to be a minister to the Gentiles. So Paul says, why am I writing to you? He hadn't even planted this church. As most of the letters he wrote to churches that he had planted. But he'd never been to Rome, had not planted this church. So why are you, and they're already mature. He says, you're mature believers. Why are you writing to us, Paul? Well, I've made bold to write to you because God has given me a grace to be a minister to Gentiles. Now, we all know that, I'm sure we all know that a Gentile is everyone that's not a Jew. So what Paul is saying is that God has given him a grace for cross-cultural ministry, right? What God has called him to do is to minister to people outside of his culture. And Paul says it's a grace. Not everybody has the grace or a grace to minister outside of our own culture, to have a cross-cultural ministry. Paul was clear that God had supernaturally gifted him, had given him the grace to minister to people outside of his own culture. If you want to just look briefly, we're going to stick to Romans here, but we'll look just briefly at Galatians chapter 2, where he shares the same idea. And, of course, he talks about it many other times as well. But this will maybe help us later on as we're making application. In chapter 2 of Galatians, starting with verse 7. But on the contrary, this is when he's visited Jerusalem and he's gone up to see Peter and James and John. But on the contrary, seeing that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been to the circumcised, for he who effectually worked in Peter, worked for Peter in his apostleship to the circumcised, effectually worked for me also to the Gentiles. And recognizing the grace, there it is again, the grace that had been given to me to do that ministry, James and Cephas and John, who were reputed to be pillars, gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship so that we might go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. It's almost surprising, and we don't have time to go there now, but that Peter and James and John, all their apostleship was monocultural. They went to the Jews. They're particularly, even in spite of the great, I don't know how this works together with the Great Commission and all that, but this is what Paul states, that they believed that their ministry was primarily to Jews. Peter and James and John, that's what it says, right? But Paul says, my ministry, the grace, he repeats the same thing again, I have received a grace for cross-cultural ministry. Okay, I've received a grace to the ability from God to minister to people outside of my culture. So that's the first thing that we see about Paul here. What Paul is going to do now is going to, the thread will follow in this passage that I read, is the thread of Paul's ministry, where this won't be an exposition of the passage in about 2 years or 3 years. Pastor Chris will do the exposition here. But we'll follow a thread. And it's very interesting because you've already done the first 23 verses of chapter 1. There are echoes of chapter 1 in this chapter. So there's a tie back to the first 15 verses in particular that we'll see. We've already seen this. Paul said in chapter 1, verse 5, he talked about the grace and apostleship given to him to go to the Gentiles, right? So this is, he's just repeating what he's already said in chapter 1. So he says, I've been given this grace to go to the Gentiles. And then he talks, what he's going to do first, if we could divide this section up that I read into three parts, very simply outlining it. He talks about his past ministry, in verses 15 to 19, and then in verses 20 and 21, he talks about his ambition, his aspiration, and then in verses 22 to 33, he talks about his future ministry. So it's what he's done in the past, what God has used him to do in the past, and then we see that what his heart is that explains both the past and the future, his ambition in verses 20 and 21, and then he says what he's going to do in the future, what his plans are. So that's kind of what we're going to look at here. So first of all, he says, I've been given this grace to go minister to people outside my culture. to minister as a priest, to make the Gentiles an offering to God, with the result that the Gentiles might be obedient to God. Again, that's an echo of chapter 1, verse 5, right? The obedience of faith. That's what my ministry is all about, he says, is to see the fruit of the obedience that springs out of faith in the Gentiles. Here he doesn't mention faith, but he mentions the fruit, the outcome, obedience among the Gentiles. That's what his goal was. And then the spiritual goal. And then he talks about the geographical extent. He says, so that I have fully preached the gospel from Jerusalem all the way around. And the idea is kind of an arc around all the way to Illyricum, right? So Jerusalem's over here. And Illyricum is what would be Albania today, or those small countries around Albania. So Paul says, I have fully preached the gospel. God has helped me. The Holy Spirit has helped me to fully preach the gospel in this arc. I mean, that arrow there does not represent where he was, right? But you get the idea. The idea is that he went, you start in Israel, Turkey, right? His first missionary journey, he's in what is in present-day Turkey, Galatia. His second journey, he's in Greece, right? This is present-day Greece. He was in Philippi, Corinth. So his second journey, he's in Greece. His third journey, he's back in what would be present-day Turkey. Spends 3 years in Ephesus. So, and Luke doesn't even mention Illyricum in Acts, but it shows us that Luke didn't write everything down, right? So Paul says, I have fully preached the gospel all the way from Israel, Syria, Turkey, Greece, and Albania. Those would be the countries today. I fully preached the gospel in all of those places. And an amazing statement, right? An amazing statement. And then he comes to verse 20. And this really is the heart of what he's talking about, of his ministry, and what I want to share tonight. So in verse 20 he says, and thus I aspired to preach the gospel, not where Christ was already named, so that I would not build on another man's foundation. Paul says, my aspiration, my ambition, I'm not sure what the different versions that you're reading say, but ambition or aspiration or my passion, my desire, my longing is to preach Christ where he is not known. That is what motivates me. That is what I've been doing over here all these years, is preaching, going from one place to another where Christ is not known. I do not want to build on another man's foundation. Remember he said to the Corinthians, I am like a master builder, right? Laying foundations. And the only foundation you can lay is Christ. That's what he's talking about here, is preaching Christ, not anything else. Preaching Christ and him crucified. Paul says, I don't do walls and I don't do roofs, right? I go and lay foundations and I move on. That's what Paul's saying. I don't want to go and build on somebody else's foundation. Not that that's not a worthy calling or important, but that's not what I am called to do. So we see two aspects of Paul's ministry here then. He has a grace to minister cross-culturally, and his heart and passion and ambition and purpose is to preach Christ where he has not been named, where Christ is not known. To lay foundations, not where somebody else has already built a, laid down a foundation, but where there's no foundation laid. And then he, in verse 27, he quotes Isaiah 52:15. He says, just as it is written, they who had no news of him shall see, and they who have not heard shall understand. He takes an Old Testament promise and he says, my work, my ministry is in agreement, is in accordance with this promise from the Old Testament. Isaiah 52:15 is at the beginning of that probably the most glorious picture of Christ in the Old Testament. We're familiar with Isaiah 53, but it really starts three verses earlier in verse 13, but verse 15 is toward the beginning of that great, wonderful servant song. And it's a promise of the prosperity of the servant of the Lord, and that the kings and the nations are going to hear the gospel. It's a message of the prosperity of the gospel, a message that the gospel will go everywhere. And Paul says, this is what I'm basing my ministry on. It's interesting that the promises of God, because this is not an exhortation in Isaiah, it's a promise. God's saying this is going to happen. Though they who had no news of him shall see, they who have not heard shall understand. But Paul didn't say, oh, good, God promised that. Okay, I can sit down. God's going to do that. I don't need to do anything. On the contrary, the promises of God were a motivation to Paul to say, I'm going to participate with God in getting this done. I get to be a co-laborer with God in getting the gospel to the ends of the earth, and God will see it done. We're still part of this, right? We're still in this process today. God is still in the process of fulfilling this. But this is Paul's heart. This is Paul's ambition, and he bases it on this Old Testament promise. So then in verse 22, Paul starts to talk about his plans. Oh, but first he goes back. He said, for this reason, I have often been prevented from coming to you. For what reason? Because I've been laying foundations from Jerusalem to Illyricum. Okay? Remember in chapter 1 that he said, I've longed for many years to see you, and I've tried to come to you. You remember that in verses 14, 15 in there? But he says, I've been hindered. And now we see what's hindered him. The hindrance has been that he's had foundations to lay in the eastern part of the Mediterranean. Okay? So he says, for this reason, I have often been prevented from coming to you. But now, verse 23, here's a surprising statement. But now, with no further place for me in these regions. What? No? What do you mean? Paul, is everybody saved in Israel and Turkey? And is everybody saved? Does every city, every little town have a church? Oh, what kind of a bold statement is this? That there's no place for you? That's what he says, right? Why wouldn't there be a place for him? Because in terms of the places God called him to lay foundations, he was finished. He wasn't saying there was no place for anybody else. He wasn't saying everybody else has to move away. No, the teachers and the evangelists and pastors had much work to do yet there, and even other apostles. But for me, my passion and my ambition and what God has called me to do, and I'm basing it on Isaiah 52:15, is to preach the gospel, to preach Christ where no one has heard of him. And so there's no more place for me here. Again, a kind of a jolting statement. There's no more place for me. So what are you going to do then, Paul? And since I have had for many years a longing to come to you whenever I go to Spain. Okay, so let's look at the geography here. Paul is writing from Corinth or near Corinth, right? He's writing from near Corinth. Here's Rome, right, where he's never been yet. He's gone to Illyricum and been close, but he's never gotten there. Now he's talking about going to Spain, right, at the western end of the Mediterranean. Why would he go to Spain? He would go to Spain because nobody's preached the gospel there, right? That's why he would go to Spain. That's the only thing that would stir his heart to go there. He says, the eastern half of the Mediterranean, I have laid the foundations there. My work there is done. But in Spain, I don't think anybody's ever preached the gospel in Spain. I want to preach Christ in Spain. And he said, I'll see you on the way. I'm going to stop and minister there with you guys and take some rest. He said, I'm going to rest and I'm going to minister and I get ministered to by you. But you're just on the way. I'm not going to stop there. Somebody laid a foundation already in Rome. Somebody's already laid that foundation. There's already a mature church there. I'm writing to you to give you this, as Pastor said this morning. You know, maybe he viewed Rome as I'm sure he did, as a key city for the expansion of the gospel. But as far as his work of laying a foundation, no, that had already been done. So he was just going to temporarily go there and be on his way to Spain. Well, he mentions one other thing that he was going to do as well, and we won't dwell on this very much, but he says, I'm on my way to Jerusalem. Wait a minute, Paul. I thought you said you were going to Spain. Jerusalem is the other direction. Well, you remember that he had been on his whole, apparently on his whole third missionary journey, making a collection among the Gentile churches for the Jewish saints, poor saints in Jerusalem. So he's on his way to Jerusalem to take the offering. But again, that's just a temporary stop. I'm going to Jerusalem wanting to the Gentiles should be sharing their material goods with the Jews who gave them the gospel. But then I'm going on by way of you to Spain. I'm just going to stop on my way and see you in Spain. So, again, I think this is clear here. Paul is saying about his own ministry. He says, God has given me a grace to minister cross-culturally, and in particular, my ambition and my passion, my aspiration is to preach Christ where he's never been preached, to lay the foundation of Christ in places where he's never been preached. Because there's a promise in the Old Testament that those who have never heard will hear. And I'm counting on that promise, and I'm banking on that promise, and I'm collaborating with God in his fulfillment of that promise. And then he in the midst of this, he asks the Romans for two things. The first of them is in verse 24. He says, whenever I go to Spain, for I hope to see you in passing, right, and to be helped on my way there by you. Paul's asking for an offering, right? I want to use you as a trampoline here. Give me a boost to get to Spain. It's interesting. Paul used this word to be helped on my way. He talked about it with Timothy. He usually talked about it for other people. Be sure to help Timothy out. Help him on his way. And he's not just saying, God bless you, have a good trip. You know, no, he's saying, give him some monetary help. And here he's saying, not in a begging way or that, but he's saying, he's preparing their hearts. He says, I hope to be helped on my way there by you. So the first thing he asked them for is financial help to spread the gospel. Nobody's going to give him tithes or offerings in Spain off the bat, right? Now, he could make tenths, but he needed help to get to Spain. And the other thing he asked them to do in verses 30 and 31 and 32 is to pray for him. He says, I would ask you to strive together, not just pray some passive prayers, but I would ask you to strive in prayer for me. Right? And he asked for two specific things. One is that God would protect him when he goes to Judea. They wanted to kill him there before, and as we know, they tried to kill him again, but God answered the prayers of the Romans and others. He was not killed in Jerusalem. God did get him to Rome, not the way Paul thought. He got there as a prisoner, but he arrived, and he did share with the Romans there. But he asked them for prayer and for that his offering would be acceptable to the saints. But these are the two things that he asked the Romans for. One is financial support, and the other is prayer for his journeys and his ministry. Okay, let's make an application here, and we'll close. First, a general principle. The general principle, I think that we can pull from here is this. In order for the gospel to reach the whole world, some must give everything, and everyone must give something. God's plan is for the gospel for everyone to hear. He's promised that it will happen. But Paul says, I have a part in that. I have a part in that. God calls some, maybe we could even say a few, but proportionally, it's not the majority that have that calling to cross-cultural ministry or that ambition that God put in Paul's heart to preach the gospel where the gospel was not known. But he does call some today still with those callings of the grace to minister cross-culturally and a calling to plant churches, to preach the gospel where Christ is not known. Some must give their lives. We're not talking about levels of Christian that one is better than the other. It's interesting. Paul does not put a guilt trip on the Romans. Hey, you guys should be doing this, but since you're second-class Christians, just no. There's not a hint of I'm better or I'm doing something more important. Not that at all. But he does invite them to participate. So some must give everything. Paul gave his entire life to this, and he said, I'm glad to do it. I'll spend and be spent. And I even if I have to endure bonds and imprisonment, my life is not important to me. It's just fulfilling the calling God has given to me. So some, in order for the gospel to get to the whole world, some must give everything. But everyone must give something. This issue of missions, or the project of missions, or the cause of missions, is not just for a few. Paul invited the Romans to participate with him. So everyone should be concerned with the cause of Christ, with the gospel getting to the whole world. Every believer, every disciple of Christ should be concerned with getting the gospel to the whole world. And really the question then becomes, for you and me, am I a Paul or am I a Roman? If we can put it in very, very simple terms. A few of us will be Pauls and many of us will be Romans. But nobody gets to be bench warmers. There's no category of bench warmers. Oh, and you guys, you can, if you don't really feel like it, you can just do nothing, right? That's not part of God's plan. But we all have the privilege of being part of seeing God fulfill his promises. He will fulfill his promises. That the gospel, those who have not heard will hear. Those who have not seen are going to understand. But some of us, there might be someone here, I don't know. God is the Lord of the harvest. He sends the laborers. He chooses the laborers and sends them. But there might be somebody here who, when they hear about Paul, something stirs. Something stirs in their heart. When they hear about places like the highlands of Jalisco, something stirs in your heart. Maybe this is a confirmation for you of something God's spoken to you 2 years ago or 4 years ago, or maybe this is the first time and something stirs in you when you hear about Paul. Maybe God will call you to have a ministry like Paul in Tajikistan or Morocco or Spain or the highlands of Jalisco. And for all of the rest of us, we're called to be Romans and say, Lord, how do you want me to participate in what you're doing in the world? I want to be a part of that, Father, of being a co-laborer with you, of seeing the gospel get to the whole world. If it's to go and preach the gospel, if it's to share the gospel in the Czech Republic or in Ecuador or Mexico or in some other country around the world, I will go. I'll say yes to the Lord of the harvest. And the rest of us say, yes, I'll be a Roman. I will give of my resources. I will strive earnestly in prayer for those that are preaching the gospel. And we can all have a part and all, as Jesus said, all rejoice together in the harvest. I'll pray briefly and then Chris will come and lead us in a prayer time. Father, we thank you for Paul's clear understanding of his own ministry here. His simple sharing of his what he had done, preaching the gospel in one place and then preaching the gospel somewhere else and preaching the gospel somewhere else, and always with the ambition to preach Christ where he was not known, trusting in your promise, in that promise of the Old Testament, Isaiah's promise, your promise through Isaiah, that those who had not heard will hear, Father. We thank you for that promise. You are still in the business of fulfilling that promise today, Lord. The gospel is moving into every part of the world, and we rejoice in that. Lord, tonight, if there's somebody here that you would call to be a Paul, to go and minister, learn a new language, learn a new culture, go to people that have not heard the gospel, Lord, you can stir and send. You are the Lord of the harvest. And Lord, for those of us that are not do not have that calling, Lord, stir our hearts to give, and stir our hearts to earnestly pray, Father, and so we can all have a part in your great work in the world. We thank you for this in Jesus' name.